Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Also, I have a blog, and it's called Blueprint for Wealth, believe it or not, and you can find it at blueprintforwealth.org, and it has videos on topics of interest in estate and business planning. It has all our past radio shows dating back all the way to 2007, if you want to listen to them, and with our special guests as well. And we also have articles of interest on estate, tax, and business planning. And finally, please read the Washington Business Journal. My column appears, Blueprint for Wealth, usually the first Friday or second Friday of every month. Today, we're going to be talking about an estate planning topic, and that is picking the right trustee and picking the right executor of your estate. You know, I get these questions all the time. What does an executor do? What's the difference between an executor and a trustee? Do I have to use a bank or a corporate trustee to administer my estate? These are very common questions. Now, many people don't understand between the difference between an executor and a trustee. So let me focus on that first, and then we'll get into some nuances. To the executor, it's delegated the responsibility to make decisions, collect and gather all of the assets of the decedent, sell the assets when it's advisable or necessary, pay all of the debts of the decedent, and of course, and most importantly, pay the taxes and costs and expenses of the estate. And finally, the executor executes documents that are necessary to complete probate of the estate, which may include an inventory that has to be filed with the local court, accountings that have to be filed on an annual basis, and other filings, including, in Maryland, petitioning for fees. The executor then distributes what's left in accordance with the terms of a will. If a trust is created under a will, which would be known as a testamentary trust, the executor turns over the assets to the trustee, who takes over and manages the property as directed by the trust instrument in the will. Alternatively, you may use what's called a revocable living trust. You may have appointed an executor under the will, and if you hadn't transferred all of your assets into trust when you were alive, the executor will be told to transfer any leftover assets into the trust after you're gone. The executor works in consultation with a lawyer and sometimes an accountant. Usually, the lawyer should have probate experience, meaning that they've got experience in dealing with the local court system and making sure that the property is properly handled. The executor will not need a lot of technical skill if you're dealing with an experienced lawyer. So, you can appoint family members as executors, although problems can arise if the family members don't live in the same state where the will is probated. For example, in Virginia, it requires that you have a local co-executor who can receive service of process, a resident agent, for example. So the executor has the power, hopefully under the will, to appoint a co-executor who may be local, and it could be an attorney licensed to practice in Virginia. Another difficulty could develop if the family members give preferences to themselves where they are both the executor and the beneficiary. That is an inherent, what we call, conflict of interest. So the executor has a fiduciary duty to act in the best interests of all of the heirs. And if they favor themselves over the other heirs may have a cause of action, a legal claim against the executor. A common question we get, how much do executors get paid? What are the fees? Well, that varies from state to state. In some states, the fees are relatively low. But there are some states where executors' fees can be as high as 5% of the value of the estate. In that case, it's usually preferable to have somebody other than a corporate executor. unless the testator, the person who made the will, or his attorney negotiates a lower fee for a corporate executor before the will is signed. Usually it's too late if the will has been signed and a corporate executor has been appointed. In some states, it's important to have a provision in the will to permit a change of executors without having any liability to pay a large percentage fee to a specific executor named in the will. Don't feel reluctant to speak to an attorney about flexible provisions in your will to minimize the costs of probate. One way of avoiding probate, again, use a revocable living trust and put your assets in the trust while you're alive. Some people try to keep executors' fees high where family members are involved. But if you want to limit the executor's compensation, you can do so in the will. Another question is, under what circumstances should there be a bond, a surety bond, imposed to ensure that the executor does what he's supposed to do under the will? For example, an executor could misappropriate funds. They could steal funds or assets from the estate. If the executor is a corporate executor, such as a substantial bank or trust company, the added expense of a bond usually is not necessary, because the net worth of the bank or the trust company usually will be sufficient to offset any wrongdoing by a corporate trustee. And this will save lots of money. But if the executor is an individual, particularly one who's not in the family, or if there's some question as to the character of the person being named, then a bond may be appropriate. Now, if there's a question as to the character of the person being named, what do you think should happen? Should you name that person as an executor? In my opinion, no, but you may not have a choice. There may be limited choices in picking an executor. If there's no bond or a minimum bond, this should be specified in the will. In other words, the will would say, I hereby waive bond or do not require my executor to post bond. State statutes may affect these decisions, and a lawyer licensed to practice in your state will be able to help you with this issue and other helpful suggestions. The executor usually has the power to sell assets, to pay and settle debts, and to the extent necessary, borrow money, mortgage property, etc. But in Virginia, for example, the power to sell real estate needs to be expressly stated in the will. Again, another reason to go to a competent attorney licensed to practice in this area. Now, how do you select an executor? Well, it's not nearly as important as selecting the trustee, particularly if the estate is going to wind up within 1 or 2 years, which is the typical time frame for an estate to stay in effect. Selecting a trustee is much more sensitive because the trustee will have substantial discretion not only in managing the property, but also in making decisions as to when and how to distribute income or principal to your beneficiaries. If you give them that discretion, then the selection of that person becomes even more important. And in cases where you've set up a dynasty trust, a trust that may last 100 years or more, the selection of the trustee is really important. Which then gets into a question of the following. What if I want to name individuals as trustees? You can do so, but you need to build a mechanism in your trust so that the trustee can name successors and have a mechanism if the trustee fails to follow your instruction where the beneficiaries of the trust can elect a successor trustee, either an individual trustee or a corporate trustee. But you want to build the mechanism with the flexibility to allow for the trust to continue as long as you desire that trust to go on. The trustee should have good judgment if the trust instrument gives discretion to distribute income or principal or both. These tasks may lead you to choose a corporate trustee or a bank as the trustee, if there's no individual who meets your requirements. A lot of people are nervous about corporate trustees, mainly because if you name a corporate trustee and something goes wrong, what do you do? Well, again, build in flexibility to remove the corporate trustee if something is going wrong, and then possibly appoint a family member to serve side by side with the corporate trustee so that they know what's going on at all times in the trust, and they have the ability to exercise discretion. Another important factor when you're choosing a trustee is that you could use a corporate trustee to handle all of the administrative tasks that are involved in handling a trust. Every year, for example, you may need to prepare an accounting of all of the trust assets. There also may need to be investment decisions exercised over the trust assets. The corporate trustee could be involved in this as well. There may be tax returns that have to be filed for the trust after you're gone, because trusts are independent taxpayers typically, unless they are so-called grantor trusts, which only exist while you're alive. So after you're gone, the corporate trustee may serve a useful role. In addition, the individual trustee, a family member, somebody who knows the beneficiaries of the trust or who has familiarity with their needs, may be a good person to select to make decisions over distributing trust assets. So the corporate trustee may be involved in administering the trust. An individual may be involved in making decisions about distributions over the trust, and a third party might be involved who has a particular experience in investing trust assets. So you can get pretty detailed in how the trust is going to be managed. It doesn't need to have just one trustee. You can have more than one. Obviously, this is a complicated decision, and it should involve the input of a competent attorney. If you've got questions on selecting corporate trustees or individual trustees or executors, give us a call at 703-218-2100 or visit my blog, which talks about this issue, at blueprintforwealth.org. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.